Here we go. And Mark, no more looking at the puzzle box. This guy is really smart in the front row. He figured out the dog right away. So you should fill in those fill-in-the-blanks. This is what most people think of the book of Revelation, a chart. Basically, if you want to illustrate the prophetic events, you could do so like that. Christ comes to earth, died on the cross, ascended back into heaven. We're in the part called the church age. Israel will be reestablished. The church will go to heaven. And the events of the tribulation will unfold. For most people, that's what prophecy means to them. But is that the purpose of the book of Revelation? What did the first verse say the purpose was? To unveil the chart or to unveil Jesus Christ? Which is it? Well, look down in your Bible at verse 1. What does it say? What's the purpose of Revelation? If you want to make the book of Revelation the most exciting book, understand the purpose. The revelation of, and what's the next two words in your Bible? Jesus Christ. You can learn more about Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation than any other part of the Bible. There are more names and titles and attributes and ascriptions to Jesus in Revelation than anywhere else. But it also, the book of Revelation, gives the most complete answers to the most important questions of life. The book of Revelation answers and illustrates what Paul shared on Mars Hill. In Acts 17, Paul talked to a bunch of pagan Greeks. And he said, there's three things you need to know about. Origin, where did I come from? And Paul said that answer, or that question, is only answerable when we come face to face with truth that answers the question. And what Paul told those pagan, evolutionary-minded Greeks was that Jesus is my creator. Most people in the back of their minds wonder where they came from. Secondly, another question most people have is, why am I here? Bonnie and I spend a lot of our year traveling through the Orient. One of the wealthier countries in the world is Japan. The Japanese make cars that are unbelievable. They might even be better than the German car. And one of the amazing cars is called the Lexus. And a Lexus is made so completely well that it is airtight. And all the air that comes in comes through filters into the car. Do you know what one of the big problems is in Japan? Young people whose parents all make $100,000 a year buy them a beautiful Lexus, and they look at their parents and all they do is work. And they look at their grandparents and all they do is sit in a rest home with all their money. And they go, why am I here? Just to earn money to go to a rest home and sit and die? Like most other countries, one of the greatest problems Japan has is youth suicide. Only they're very creative how they do it. All over Japan, police discover in the morning Lexuses parked with young people inside, dead. And they call it a Lexus hibachi party. They take a charcoal grill and bring it in the car, light it, and cook their food inside the car with the windows up. And they sit in their seats and in the center of their grilling, and they eat their meat, and as they eat, they all slowly get sleepy because the car is so sealed that the hibachi fire consumes all the oxygen and leaves carbon monoxide, which makes you sleepy. So they eat the meal and talk, and as they're eating, they all get sleepier and then they die. Why would rich kids with rich parents with a beautiful car kill themselves? Because they don't know why they're even existing. Paul said there's three things every human wants to know. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And what Paul said is that the Creator came to be the Redeemer, who is also the Judge. And that's actually the outline of the whole Bible. Genesis 1 and 2 introduces the Creator. 3 through Revelation 5 shows him as Redeemer. And Revelation ends with him as the Judge. I tell most people, you have to face the truth. Either now, or you're going to face it then. So the whole book of Revelation, we can say, are Christ's last words to his church. My friend that read verse 1 said the revelation that Jesus Christ gave to his servants. Now I want you to think about what Revelation gives us. And you should be on page 5 by now. Revelation lets us see the real Jesus. This is the portrait that God wants us to think about when we think who Jesus is. And in Revelation 1:19, we find the three purposes of this book. And basically, when we take what it says in verse 19, it outlines the book. Revelation 1 is John seeing Jesus. Now, remember, John walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And then he saw him crucified. And then he saw Jesus, the resurrected Christ, in the upper room. But John hadn't seen Jesus since he ascended back into heaven. So it had been about 60 years. John saw Jesus like he is right now. Jesus is glorified in all of his divine power. Revelation 2 and 3 is a description of Jesus visiting the churches. And then from chapter 4 onward is Jesus showing the future. Now it says in verse 19, to see the things which are, to see the things which shall be. Jesus as the risen and glorified Christ, and Jesus as the one who visits every church and walks around. We're going to spend a lot of time looking at chapters 2 and 3 of what Jesus does when he visits your church. But the ultimate application is in verse 3 that was read by my dear friend. I forgot your name already. The Lord Jesus wants to bless us if we'll read and heed and keep what his word says. Verse 13 tells us what Jesus is doing today. Jesus attends church every time it gathers. He walks around like this, watching us. We don't see him. We don't hear him. We don't see him. But he's walking around looking at us. When I was a youth pastor and a youth evangelist and preaching to people, young people like you, I used to walk around too. And the kids that were whispering in the last row usually stopped as I got near the back row. And the ones that were writing notes and passing them to each other and all that, this is before cell phones, would stop when I walked. And the ones that had fallen asleep, their friends would go like this. He's coming, he's coming.
Yun,
wake up.
Yun, kai fan.
That is a very vivid description of what Jesus does at the church.
Ez egy nagyon életszerű leírás annak, hogy Jézus mit csinál a gyülekezetben.
He's coming to the one moment in the week when the whole body gathers and they all should be thinking about him. And he comes and looks in Boris's mind. He says, Boris is thinking about soccer, not
azt mondja,
me.
Hogy...
Boris is thinking about that cute girl over there and not me. I was just teasing. You all know that's
most csak viccelek, tudom, hogy...
Do you understand what I mean?
Jesus értitek, hogy mire gondolok?
He's coming and looking to see if we're focusing on him. In Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus found the churches were focusing on everything but him. That's because no one could see him. My young people, when I was a youth pastor, would do all that stuff until they saw me. They'd sit up straight in their chair, they'd smile, they'd open their Bible, they'd look at me. It's kind of like, what is it you want me to do? I want to do it. In the Old Testament, there is a word that's used for what I'm talking about. And that word is this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That doesn't mean that we're afraid of the Lord like a dog is afraid if you pick up a stick that you're going to hit it. It's not that kind of fear. It's a conscious awareness that, Lord, I know you're watching me. Do you remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Do you all know that story? Do you know what the best part of the whole story is? When Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, how can I do this evil in the sight of God? Now, I have a phonographic mind. I didn't say photographic, I said phonographic. Phonographic means I say what I see in my mind. I think in pictures. I can see pages in my Bible and in books I've read. When I read about Joseph and Potiphar's wife, do you know what I see? Potiphar's wife is pulling on Joseph's cloak, his coat. She's trying to pull it off of him. And that's all she's thinking about is Joseph. And Joseph said, I can't do that. And Potiphar's wife goes, where is he? Joseph knew God was watching. Potiphar's wife thought they were alone. See, that changes your whole life when you realize you're never alone. Did you know that right now in America, over 80% of all pornography is watched on mobile phones. 80%. Do you know why? Can you tell what I'm looking at? It's the ultimate privacy. Most people, young people in America, sleep with their telephones. This has become their closest companion. How many people do you know sleep with their Bible? That would be weird. How many of you know people that sleep with their phone? You come in the morning, they're sound asleep, but their hand is closed. You see, Joseph knew that God was always watching him. Okay, this is the outline of the book of Revelation. Seeing Christ on Patmos, Jesus visiting the churches, and seeing the future. This is what verse 19 says. Write what you have seen. That's Jesus in all of his glory, his face glowing, his white hair, all that. Then write down the things that are. That's Jesus going from church to church. Then write the things which will be hereafter. Ah, we just finished last hour. Okay, now we're in hour two. There's that address again. And I want you to remember, it will help you if you download those notes. And because it's very hard to flip all over this paper and find where I am. And at that link are also all of these slides with all the pictures and all the charts. Okay, my question to you is, are you doing and being what Christ wants? So the risen Christ is walking around looking at us today. Jesus didn't just look at the church 2,000 years ago that are listed in Revelation 2 and 3. He wrote the book of Revelation to us to tell us he's still walking around watching us. And what Jesus does in Revelation 2 and 3 is he warns about the challenges that are facing the church. Have you guys found what page that's on? Oh, good. Well, if you found it, I don't need to
worry. Oldalon van.
Revelation 4 through 22 is the description of what the future looks like. And what's interesting is that Jesus gives us what I call 7 clear indicators to know when you're in the end of days. Now, remember I told you that the weight of all the 31,000 verses in the Bible are on the book of Revelation. One of the parts of the Bible that Revelation totally describes is what we call Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a description of the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is when Jesus comes in the sky, and the Bible says every eye will see him. So all of the world at once sees Jesus Christ coming. That's impossible. Did you know that the only way you can blanket the earth with coverage from satellites is if you put satellites 22,000 miles out from the earth? So this satellite broadcasts this direction and hits this much. This satellite broadcasts and gets this. And this satellite broadcasts and gets this part of the earth. You can only get all the earth if you have 3 geosynchronous satellites. Right now, I can flip on my Facebook Live and go like this, and the whole world could see you guys in this class. If you look on Facebook Live right now, there'll be a little dot on every continent except Antarctica, and there will be people broadcasting. Jesus said at the second coming, 7 things would be going on the earth. One of them is global events where the whole earth does the same event. Think about how many times it says in the Bible, and everyone on earth in Revelation saw this and feared and watched in terror. How many years has, this is by the way an iPhone, it's a very heavy paperweight. It just had its birthday. How old is this? How many? 10.
10 éves.
These have only been around 10 years. Do you realize people did not have a computer in their pocket until 10 years ago? My first computer in 1983 was this long, this wide. It looked like a giant suitcase. It weighed 30 or 40 pounds. And the total capacity of it was 20 megabytes. One picture is 15 megabytes. 20 for this thing. Can you imagine carrying that in my pocket? Yet I have in my phone right now my whole library from home. My secretary counted all my books. And I have over 7,000 books in my library at home. An electronic copy of all of them is inside of here. And I have 300,000 pictures in my phone, in my iPhoto collection. I'm only telling you that because you don't realize how fast everything is changing in our world. When Jesus returns, Daniel says that people are going to and fro throughout the whole earth. When the book of Revelation was written, one of the Roman emperors died in battle. The Roman Empire was basically around the Mediterranean Sea. And so the Roman Empire circled the Mediterranean Sea, and there was Rome, and there were legions all around the Mediterranean. And it wasn't until almost 5 months after the emperor died that finally they all heard what had happened. Truth traveled at the speed of a horse or the speed of a boat pushed along by the wind. So when John wrote in Revelation that every eye would see Jesus coming, everyone thought, well, it doesn't mean what it says. It must mean something else. People couldn't conceive of everybody around the Mediterranean at the same time understanding anything. But now, Earth is so blanketed with satellites, events unfold for everyone at the same time. There's something else Revelation says. Have you ever heard of this number? 666? What does that mean? Does that mean everybody's going to have a barcode right here? Actually, what it says that's really interesting is it says you can't buy or sell without a number. I left my wallet home. How many of you have a credit card? If you have an account in any bank, you have a number. Basically, John, the apostle, was saying that money would be a number. What we have today is what's called digitalized currency. You take your pocket full of money to the bank, and they just write in your account $102.14. They've changed your money into digits. What's fascinating is how fast this is happening. Norway is trying to do away with any paper or coin money. Sweden is experimenting with that. Do you understand that once this gets fully done, whoever runs the numbers can turn off the credit cards? It's really interesting. It says you can't buy or sell without a number, and take heed, the number is the number of man, 666. So what people are afraid of is the number 666. But we've already succumbed to the fact that our money is digitalized, and about 70% of all the money in the world that's spent on credit cards goes through the same spot, the computer system that's the clearinghouse for credit cards. All Visa and all MasterCard transactions go through the same building. In the whole world, you ever heard of Visa or MasterCard? They all go through Omaha, Nebraska. And if Omaha turned a switch, 70% of all credit cards would not work. When I pulled out my credit card in Athens, Greece, and bought gas, I got a text 1 second later from Omaha saying, "Are you out of the country?" I live in Colorado. Athens is not in Colorado. Omaha told my phone that my credit card was in Athens. The Bible describes a time where everyone sees everything at once, where everybody's traveling all over the world, and where people buy with a number. There are actually 7 things Jesus said are going to be happening when he returns. Global travel, global commerce with the digitalized money, global information, in other words, everybody knowing, it says knowledge will increase. How many of you have heard of that word? What's that word? Can you read my writing? Say it out loud. How many of you ever use Google? Google is the compilation of all known knowledge. You can type words into the Google bar, and they have artificial intelligent machine learning computers that are anticipating what you're asking for. In 1750, so 250 years ago, the average person in their whole life only knew as much as a small newspaper contained. Their complete knowledge of their lifetime, scientists have calculated, was about the size of a Sunday newspaper in New York called the New York Times. A newspaper this thick would be the most that anybody would have known in that time. Daniel 12:4 says that there is going to be an explosion of knowledge, and that would be the sign that we're near the end. Matthew 24 gives us another clue. Scientists call these WMDs, weapons of mass destruction. In the Bible, you could only kill one person at a time, usually. If you had your sword, you got close enough to stick them. If you had your bow and arrow, you got close enough to shoot them. If you had your slingshot or your catapult, or your spear, but think how far all those go. When Jesus said, if I didn't stop the tribulation, every human being would die, the people alive that heard that went, how? If the Roman legions were over there killing everybody in that office, and we were in this room and you could hear them screaming and, would you stay at your table and wait for them to come get you here? You'd be in the water tower. Do you understand? It was impossible to kill everybody. The Roman legions would come this way, the people would go that way. The Roman legions would go this way, the people would go that way. They'd get on a boat, they'd dig a hole, they'd go in a cave. You could not get everybody. There came a time in the 1970s when Russia and America had enough bombs, nuclear, to kill everybody about 10 times. Jesus said at the second coming, the whole world would see things. The world is traveling all over the place. They're buying and selling with numbers that one person can turn off, and it stops all buying and selling. Did you know that these things have not fully happened until this time period in history? The weapons of mass destruction really were launched about 1945 in Japan. Air travel started in the 1950s. Television really took off in the 1960s. The real global money didn't really start until the 1980s. Google didn't start until the late 1990s. You understand, this is all happening very quickly. Okay, God has pictured a plan for us, and that plan is this. If you read the Bible and interpret the scriptures normally, the way you would interpret reading the cover of this. It says, Damanyik Janos Gymnasium, des mega something, something, something. If I read that, I would think it means just what it sounds like. I wouldn't think every word means something other than what it says. Most of us read most printing in a normal way. If the box says puzzle, we think it's a puzzle. If it says dog, we don't think dog means horse. But when the Bible talks in the Old Testament about Israel as a nation at the end of time, everyone thinks that must mean something other than what it said. The book of Revelation talks about events in the future and plainly describes things that are unique and global. And basically, God describes some events happening to Israel, the nation, and some things happening to a group of people that are called the believers or the church. My perspective on explaining God's word would be described as interpreting the scriptures consistently using the literal, grammatical, historic method from a pre-tribulational, pre-millennial perspective. Here are what most people would say the future events. Right now, number one, Christ's church is on earth. There's coming a time when the entire church is going to be in heaven, pulled out of the earth. That launches what's called the tribulation. At the climax, Jesus returns. He sets up his kingdom, judges all the people at the great white throne, and then heaven begins. Now, most people like pictures.